Steve is my title.
Sorry, I forgot to have these distributed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, your review sheet has to be distributed. You will have a test. Seriously, you will have a test. I'm not giving it to you, but you will have a test. You will have a test. Don't worry if you don't pass the test the first time, you get to take it again. And again, and again. I feel like I am talking inside my head. Is there a reason for that? Am I too high? Ooh, out?
I don't know, but you need to speak.
I do? Yeah. I do? I need to talk louder? Okay. Because I feel like I'm talking through my head, you know, like if you were underwater or your ears were plugged. That's kind of how I feel. So I'm trying to decide if I need my glasses or not. I'm hoping not. I even made my font a little bigger, but I'm feeling like I got to stand back here to be able to see it. But I don't want to do this either. How many of you like this deal? How many of you like that? I don't like that. Okay, so anyway, I have a few questions for you, and I'm going to try not to stick to my notes, but I'll probably have to come back to them here. I have a few questions for you. How many of you have had any bad stuff, frustrations, distress, trouble? Okay? Some of you don't have any trouble. All of your hands should be up, should they not? All of your hands should be up. Okay? Okay, another question. How do you feel that you handle those troubles when they come? You feel like you do okay? Do you? Okay. How you feel? Probably on the intensity of the thing, whatever the thing is. And we're going to call it stuff because that's, what was that? You gave Steve bad things. Was that the title?
That's what you had on your notes.
And Steve wanted to put on it what? Yeah. That's not my title, but if it works for you, if it works for you. So let me go through your spiritual warehouse, okay? Some of these you should know, okay? Romans 8:28. Anybody? Yep, all things work together for good to those who
love God.
To those who loved God and are called according to his purpose. Okay, you know the story of Joseph of Egypt? Okay, the story is he was a pest, right? He was a pest to his older brothers. They got upset with him. They threw him in a pit, then they sold him to slavery. He went into Egypt. You know the story. And what was in I think it's in chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50, the brothers come now. They need help. And what does Joseph say to the brothers? He says, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. And in the New Living Translation, it says, what you intended for my harm, God intended for my good. Okay, so let's pray before we dig into this, okay? Father, I just ask that you would help me be able to transfer this that you have shown me and you have taught me. Not that I have it all together, not that I have it down solid, but you've awakened me to this and made me aware of this. Father, help me be able to transfer that to these that sit here. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so today we're going to look at bad things, and I think the major part of that is equipping you or helping you understand how you're going to handle these things, how you're going to look at these things when they come. Okay, so let's look at John 16. I'm on 18. 16:33, and I'll give you a minute to find that if you want to. I'm going to read out of the Amplified, so those of you who brought your Amplified Bibles, Debbie probably brought hers. She's an Amplified girl. I'll give you a minute to find that. And I need a Barrett. Okay, John 16, Big John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trial and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted. Undaunted. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. So this scripture is basically telling us, yep, this is what's going to happen. You're going to have struggle. You're going to have distress. You're going to have frustrations, bad things, and they could be little to large. You know, it just all depends. But the thing of it is that Jesus has come. He's overcome. He's taken the power away from them to harm you, so that you're not overwhelmed by them. And that's a key thing, is that you're not overwhelmed. And there have been so many times where things have come to me and I'm overwhelmed by them. And the whole thing is that God doesn't want you to be overwhelmed by them. There's purpose and plan. So we're going to walk through that. The thing that I think is the most important to me, and you can kind of gauge this as you've gone through things, is to be aware and alert and awake when these things come. Have you ever been in a thing where you've gone 2 days, 3 days, a week, and you're fighting with this thing, you're duking it out with this thing, and you go, oh, you know, maybe if I rebuked this situation, it would be different. Hello, this is what this is, and I should be dealing with it this way. But we've let it go so long that, you know, we maybe have an ulcer, or, you know, you've got a cold sore. That's what happens to me. I don't realize that I'm in stress or duress until I end up with a cold sore. And then I've got to backtrack to find out what it was that gave me the cold sore. Okay, it shouldn't be happening like that. We should be more awake. You don't want to be taken by surprise. The enemy loves it when we're taken by surprise, because then it's like you're drowning. You're drowning, and you're trying to find a way out of this. Okay? Just a couple of weeks ago, I had a situation that came, and it came to the both of us. But I really am grateful. I was sensitive enough to the Lord that He told me, which is, you know, I don't have any other way to explain it other than He told me this was coming. He told me that this situation was coming, and I kind of blew it off as. Yeah, right, it's coming. And lo and behold, Roger walked out one night into the family room. I was watching TV, and he goes, such and such and such and such. And I said, yep, I knew that. It wasn't quite the way I thought it was going to come, but it still came. And it was so refreshing to be able to be on that side of it. So I would encourage you, what I want to share with you is not to bring condemnation, it's to bring awareness, okay? So if you feel like, boy, I don't measure up here, yeah, you might not measure up, but you can, okay? So there's encouragement here. And I'll tell you more about it as we go along, okay? So back to the scripture, talks about tribulation, trials, distress, frustrations. They are going to happen, they are going to come. And I'll just give you some statistics here. I said it right. How about that? When I was practicing, I couldn't get the word out. Couldn't get it out. On average, 25% of your day involves unpleasantries.
Only
25%? 25%. Well, this is the deal. That part of that has to do with your personality. You know, some people, you know, you can kick them and you can kick them and you can kick them and they just roll over and get back up and... You know, I'm good. It doesn't matter. Other people, you know, it's going to be more than 25%, depending on, you know, your personality and how you handle it. And I think that's why we look forward to weekends, is because you kind of dismiss some of that unpleasantry. Because how many of you work with people? Okay, you know what I'm saying, don't you? Because they think it should be this way, and no, you think it should be that way, and it's just unpleasant. It's unpleasant. Not that it's necessarily bad, but it's unpleasant. Okay? Here's something to realize, that life is generally a cycle of crisis and then process. So you have a thing that happens, and then you come around here and you process through it. And you go back around and you get another one, and you process through it. How many of you would agree that that's kind of It's kind of the way it is. Okay, so we're going to learn how to process here quickly so we can move on. Okay, here's another one. And this one kind of disturbs me because I walk a lot of times in a zone. And for the most part, I'm here during the day, and so I'm just working with a handful of people. But when I go out, like if I go shopping, which is hardly ever, but if I do, I'm kind of in a zone of what I need to do, and I'm not paying attention to people around me. But here's the statistic. 3 out of 10 people that you will meet on any given day are brokenhearted about something. They have something. It could be little, it could be large, but they're brokenhearted about something. And to me, that's like, oh, man. So it could be relationship, it could be finances, it could be physical challenges, it could be emotional challenges. It's the kids, it's the job, it's the car, it's the... Pick one of those, and you know what I'm talking about. They're upset about something, okay? They're hurting about something. So back to the thing, we need not be surprised. All right, so now I'm going to pick up my King James, and this I definitely need my glasses for. Go to James 1. You're all familiar with this. This isn't anything that you don't know. You know it very well. I can't even breathe, Steve, without it coming through the mic. And I need to breathe because I'm kind of holding my breath here. Okay, James 1, verse 2, just verse 2 right now. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Okay, that's an interesting, yeah, amen up there. Okay, so the Greek, well, if we look at this word trial, the Greek definition is tests, challenges, adversity, pressure, frustration, distress. And the list kind of goes on and on and on, but you get the idea, right? All right, so I heard a different preacher make this statement, and I'm going to make it, and follow me through as I make this statement, because it's kind of a bold statement. But centered believers, okay, centered, in quotations, centered believers, they handle bad things differently than unbelievers. Would you agree? Yes. At least we're supposed to, okay? But there's also uncentered believers, and they handle things differently than centered believers, okay? An uncentered believer would be a double-minded believer. They kind of like, it's kind of like this. Yeah, I believe there's God. You know, I believe there's a God. But I don't read the Bible, and I don't pray, and I don't think about God. I don't ask him for help. That would be an uncentered believer. So when a something comes, it's like a bulldozer, and they're down because they have no strength outside of themselves. They have a very shallow, if any, relationship with God. So a centered believer has a serious, deep relationship with God. Okay, and that's what we want to be. We want to be a centered believer. Okay, think about, and this scripture really bothers me, and I've heard Charlie use it several different times, but it's Ephesians 2:12. And it talks about the people who are without God and without hope in the world. And I think that is a terrible place to be. To be in this world, as nasty as this world is, and it's getting nastier, to be without God, and then to be without hope. So you can have God, but you can still be without hope. And my brother shared with me, he was in the military. He was a lieutenant of some kind. I think he was the first lieutenant. Anyway, he had to attend a military funeral. And he said it was the worst thing he had ever seen. It was a young bride. She had lost her husband. And the woman just literally lost it. And they were burying him at Arlington. And the woman crawled up on the casket screaming and yelling. Now that's without hope. That's without hope. That's what it's like. We don't want to be without hope. So when the stuff comes, it's not like, ah! You know what I'm saying? Because we can get like that. It's like, ah, I got to get out of this thing. Okay, so you get the idea. So we're going to experience trouble, trial, and we want to be able to handle it like a centered believer. Okay, so let's talk about bad things from over on this side. Okay, how many of you have been involved in things that you could have avoided? Bad things that could have been avoided, okay? Everybody's hand should be going up. Okay, so it's kind of like, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have signed that. I shouldn't have gone there. How many of you shouldn't have went there? I've been there. Shouldn't have went there. Shouldn't have hung with those. Those kind of things. When I was in high school, I was a senior in high school, and I was exercising my freedom. Now, I was a believer, so I'd already determined when I came to the Lord, I wasn't going to smoke, I wasn't going to do drugs, I wasn't going to drink, I wasn't going to, because I wanted to have my brain, okay? At all times, I wanted to have my brain. So, but I was a senior, and I was going to exercise my privileges. And because I was the oldest child still at home, I had a brother that had gone away to college, and he had his own vehicle. So I had Susie and I were talking about this, the family child vehicle. Okay, you know, one of those. And it was a little white Pinto, and it was a manual transmission. And you all laugh, but I loved that car. I loved that car. It would get me anywhere I needed to go, even down into the ditch. I went down in the ditch one time with it because I kind of fell asleep and went down into a ditch and back up and like this. Anyway, so I was exercising my right, my privilege to have access to this car. And so I decided that I was going to get to know my classmates a little bit better because they were always having parties and I never went to parties. Plus Roger was gone to school, so there was nothing to do. It was a Friday night. And even if he was around, he was at home because he couldn't do anything on Friday night. So here I am. I'm in my vehicle, and I don't think I had anyone with me. But they had told me where the party was, and I could take you to the place. It's just north here of Dodge Center, and it was back in the woods, and they invited me to this party, and so I got my can of Mountain Dew, because I knew that if I had my can of Mountain Dew, then they wouldn't pressure me to partake of the beverage of their choice. So here I am, because you have to come off the blacktop road, and I'm a detailed person, okay, so I'm giving you the whole crop. So I come off the blacktop, and it's I have to ride along the river to get back into where this, and I could see the bonfire, okay, and it wasn't just an itty-bitty bonfire, it was a big bonfire. So I'm back in there, I get out of my car, and they go, oh, Melanie came, how about that? And, oh, that's right, you don't drink, because here I have my Mountain Dew. And they said, oh, come sit by the fire. So we're sitting by the fire, and they're partying, and pretty soon, because they have this huge bonfire, pretty soon they start running through the bonfire. They're running through the bonfire, okay? Nobody's in their right mind anymore. They're running through the bonfire. And then there are people that are hooking up, and they're heading off to vehicles. And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, you know, and more people are running through the bonfire, and I'm thinking, it's time to leave. Because if I get caught here, or if somebody gets hurt, I'm going to be in triple, double trouble at home. Because I've got the parents' car, and I'm going to be in trouble. And I said, you know what, it's time to go. And I got in my car, and I left. That would be one of those situations where you avoid, I went there, but I didn't stay there. Okay, all right, not a good thing to do. Okay, let's go back to James, and this time I'm going to read out of the NLT because it's kind of interesting. If ever you do study, you need to have a gazillion translations, I think. And actually, I have not gone there yet, but I really need to learn how to use a computer program for different translations because they, you know, it's all right there. You can do that, but I haven't gotten there. I like hard copy yet. Okay, so back to James 1:2. Is that all I'm doing? Yeah, that's all I'm doing right now. So it says, dear brothers and sisters, I have the revised politically correct version here. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Okay, so now it's an opportunity. I really like that. I don't know, it's just something about the opportunity for great joy. Okay, now let's read verse 3. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Okay, so now this is kind of where we're trying to go here. says, when troubles come your way, consider it a great opportunity, an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, Don't you on your paper have on the bottom, it says review for the test?
It's on the backside.
Backside, on the backside. Okay, so there will be a test. Okay, but I'm going to help you with the review, right? Like I do with my students in my class. I always review with them so that they always get perfect scores. Right, students? Perfect scores, okay? For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance or your patience has a chance to grow. And that's the key there. Okay, so trouble, bad stuff. Your faith is tested or it's proved, okay? And that's important. Are you following me? That's what's going to help you to overcome in life. We already read that in John 16. We want to overcome in life. Think of this scripture, 1 John 5:4. It says, this is the victory that overcomes the world. What?
Even our faith.
That's what overcomes the world. Okay? So bad things come. They come and they test your faith. And our faith is going to have to pass the test. You're going to have to pass this test. Because it's going to come. You really don't have any other choice. You have to pass the test. Okay, let's clarify some things here first. That it's not God bringing the test. If you look at all these, if you look in this scripture, let's see, James 12. I'm not confused. I know where I'm going. James 1:12. There aren't 12 chapters in James. Okay, and I'm reading out of the New King James again. It says, blessed is the man, I'm going to read it from my notes here, that would be better. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Okay, that's trials. That's the same word that we talked about our Greek definition. Okay, same Greek word. Troubles, tests, adversity, challenges, pressure. Okay, same Greek word. For when he is approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say that he is tempted, same Greek word, 3986 in the Strong's Concordance, for those who want to go and look it up. I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone, but each one of us is tempted when we are drawn away by our own desires and enticed. Okay, so God's not necessarily bringing the bad stuff, but the thing you need to realize is who is delivering it to your door? You know, who's actually bringing it to your door? Well, a lot of times it is the enemy. Sometimes it's just because you live in this world and other people are making stupid mistakes because they're being affected by the enemy. All right? You're following me here with this? And the thing that I keep coming back to myself, because I think I am kind of a whiner on the inside. It's like, why? Why? And the thing that the Lord keeps sharing with me, and I don't know, you probably already have it all figured out, but he says, you know what? He says, you don't know the whole story. You don't know the whole crop of what's going on here. You don't know how many other people are affected by what you're being affected with. You know, there are other people that are involved. There are other situations that are involved. You just happen to be caught in the fray of this. I have a couple of examples for you. Do you remember Daniel? And he prayed, what, 3 weeks? You know, he's praying, he's fasting, he's doing the deal. And I think he probably was thinking, why don't I have an answer? And I think he was praying about the return. You know, it was time for them to be, the Israelites to be coming back. I think that had something to do with it. Anyway, he's praying, he's looking for an answer. And I think he was in his brain, he was saying, you know what, I don't know why it's taken so long. It's 3 weeks. And I don't have an answer. And the reason why I think that is because when the angel finally comes, he says, the reason why, when you first started to pray, I came. I was on my way, and then I got stopped because I got accosted by this principality in the spiritual realm, and I was duking it out with him, and I finally had to call Michael, the archangel, to come in and deal with this guy so that I could come and I could give you the answer. Now, how do you like that? He was on his way to begin with, and then he gets held up. So you have no idea. How about this one? How about Job? That Bev and I, we have talked Job over time and time again. I think Job really got a raw deal. Because here God, he's sitting on his throne, and Satan happens to, you know, come to him, and he says, so, where you been? And he says, well, I've been back and forth through the whole earth, you know, checking things out. He says, so, have you seen my servant Job? Oh, yeah, I've seen him. Oh, he's blessed, he's faithful, he's good, he's precious in my sight, you know, he's a good, righteous man. And Satan says, yeah, because he has everything. You know, you protect him, he's got all this stuff. You take all that stuff away, and he'll curse you. God says, can't hurt him, though. You can do that, but you can't hurt him. So you see, he's caught in the crossfire of this divine thing that's going on. He's caught in the crossfire of this. And then Satan comes back, and God says, have you seen my servant Job? And he says, yeah, I've seen him. And he says, see, he's faithful. He hasn't cursed me, nothing. Everything's gone. He hasn't cursed me. He goes, yeah, but he's got his health. So God says, well, he says, okay, I'll allow you to do that. He says, but you can't take his life. So boils, you name it. The guy had it, you know, and his wife's going, just curse God, you know, and he doesn't. But think of this situation if it were you. You're caught between this thing going on, and you don't realize, Job didn't realize what was going on. And to me, that's kind of in my brain, okay, it's in my brain, it's the way I'm thinking, I think that's unfair of God to do that. I do, don't you? Come on, isn't that unfair that would happen? Okay, so what I'm sharing with you is that when things happen and you find yourself challenged and you find yourself frustrated and distressed, you don't have the full picture, and you might not even have an answer to why this is happening the way it's happening, okay? But there's a key, okay? So the enemy comes to what? Okay, but Jesus came that you
might have life more abundant.
Yep, even to the full, life to the full. Okay, how about, I don't have enough students here. My students are in the nursery. Well, I got a student there, and I have a student there, and a student there. Did I miss a student? Oh, Larissa and Bev are students. Okay, so, quiz, I'm going to put you on the spot. And none of the rest of you can answer, especially you. Okay? 1 Corinthians 10:13. Anybody quote it? Anybody? Larissa, can you? Yeah, I do. I want you to stand. Yeah, I want you to stand. And you can do it. You can do it in a loose translation if you need to.
Okay, this is the Larissa paraphrase.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome.
Yep.
Yeah. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But if you are tempted, he will make a way so you can stand up under it.
Very good. Yay. Very good. Okay, so he's not going to allow you to be able to go through something more than what you can bear, more than what you can handle, all right? It will be pressure, because that's what it is. It's pressure, no matter what it is. It's going to be pressure, but it's not going to be more, okay? And this is a cool thing to think about. I'm in the middle of this, and God thinks I can handle this. How about that? You can handle that. You can handle it. It wouldn't come if he didn't think you could handle it. So be encouraged with that, okay? So there's no whining, you know, that we're not even going to go there, okay? God's word gives us strength in those times, and I'll share a little bit more about that as we go along. The thing to remember is that God is faithful, and there have been times where I will admit it, I have been disappointed in God, and then I have to step back and say, you know what, that's not the right attitude to have, because he's faithful. His word says he's faithful. And if I believe it, then I best be standing on the fact that he says that he is faithful. He won't give me anything that I cannot handle. And he is faithful no matter what. And sometimes I think we need to write that on poster board and stick it up on our mirror. You know, God is faithful no matter what. He is faithful no matter what. No matter what's coming at me, he is faithful. Okay? So let's go back to James, and right at the beginning there in chapter 1, he says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. And so James is talking to, this is a little history lesson for you, and I love history. I love history. Little history lessons for you. The 12 tribes are Jewish believers, okay? They were in Jerusalem. And if you go back to Acts 11, 19, it gives you the whole scenario of what had happened. Stephen was stoned. He stood up and he proclaimed a bunch of stuff and they stoned him. And then that kind of stirred up this mega persecution that went on in Jerusalem. And it was like anything goes. Saul, who later became Paul, he got involved in that. And so there was major persecution. How many of you have been through persecution? Okay, you have no clue. You have no clue what persecution is. These people were majorly, I mean, yes, it feels like persecution. I'm not trying to belittle your persecution because I'm sure you've experienced some of that. I have as well. But this is, your persecution is nothing compared to their persecution. These people were pulled from their homes. They were put in prison. Tremendous trauma. I can't even imagine the trauma that they went through. Parents were taken away from children. And these people ended up having to leave Jerusalem because it says here that they were scattered. It was the 12 tribes that were scattered. And they were scattered into Gentile nations. And to be put into to be a Jewish believer put into a Gentile nation is persecution enough, the way it is. And I've shared with you before about these Gentile cities and nations that they went to. That must have just tore them apart, the things that were happening, and they had to live in this society. It's kind of like how we feel today, kind of. Yeah. So financial problems, I'm sure that they lost their homes. Who's going to, you know, if they're on the wrong side of the track, who's going to buy their home? Who's going to buy their business? They're going to lose that. Fear for life and the unknown. It's kind of like Abraham not knowing where he's going. It's, you know, pick up your stuff and leave. Have you ever had one of those where you didn't know where you were going? Yeah, Susan does. Susan does. Susan doesn't know where she's going. And it turned their whole lives upside down. But the thing of it is these people moved into Gentile lands. They spread the gospel. So what was meant for evil was turned out for good. Okay, because the gospel was spread. So that was a good thing. Okay, back to James. He says to consider it joy. He was writing to these people who had lost their homes, had lost family, had probably family members that were killed in the process or tortured in the process of this persecution. They lost their homes. They lost their businesses, had to go to someplace different. He's telling them to consider it joy. Interesting, isn't it? Would I consider that joy? Yeah. Okay, so when bad things, when trials come, it's not just a bad thing. It's going to test our faith, and it's necessary that we pass the test. The test is to prove our faith and who our faith is in, and do we really trust God? Because that's really the bottom line is, are you going to really trust him? Are you going to really trust him? All right, now let's talk about the armor of God. Okay, students? Students, they just were tested on this, except for Tammy. I don't think you've taken your test yet. Okay? One at a time, give me a piece of armor. We'll start with Larissa. Give me a piece.
Helmet.
Helmet of what?
Salvation.
Okay. Bev? Okay. Kim? Oh, she didn't. She's on a different module. She's on a different module. You had that last year. How about this one? You know this one? Truth. Belt of truth. Anybody else? Shield of faith. Sword of the Spirit. Okay, so which one? So as we're talking, your peace. Beautiful feet. So when we're talking about this, we've been talking about this all through the 20 minutes we've been at this. Yeah, 20 minutes we've been at this. What piece of armor are you going to pick up? What piece of armor? I mean, you're going to have it all on, but specifically, what are we going to pick up? We're going to pick up this shield. I can't remember what movie it's in. I think it's in Prince Caspian. Either that or it's in one of those other, you know, the Trojans or Helen of Troy or whatever. Anyway, they all the troops are out there. They're on foot. They're the foot soldiers, you know, they march. And then the other side, they're releasing arrows, and the whole group puts up their shield, up their... What? What's 300? That's the movie? Okay. I haven't seen it. I just flipped through the channels, and there it was. I have no idea. So anyway, the whole thing becomes a giant shield because they put their shields together. The arrows come, and they just bounce off of them. They don't even affect them. Okay? So, and your shield is to do what? Yeah, you said that. It's a fiery darts.
Flaming missiles.
Flaming missiles. Yeah, we know why. Okay, so you have your shield. Okay, you also, now this is the situation where I was in. I had my faith up there. Your faith is for the missiles that come at it. But at the same time, you got to be picking up this sword. Because you're going to have to be doing this. You know, I've watched these. It's kind of interesting how they do that. You know, they this and this. This, and you know, you could get your exercise that way. Anyway, the whole thing is that you don't want to be leaving your armor in your closet when you walk out the door. And sometimes you need to have it on when you're even in your own house. How many of you would agree? You need to have it in your own house. Okay, so the thing, if we're going to talk about armor, then we need to realize, we need to be aware that you're in a battle. I don't know, that helps me when I know that I'm in a battle. When I, in my brain, I'm thinking, okay, I'm in a battle. It's a battle here. It's a battle in my brain. Sometimes it's a battle against my emotions. Sometimes it's a battle against my body. It's still a battle, okay? It'll help you. So these are some questions that you need to answer when you're in the midst of battle, okay? First one, do you really believe what you say you believe? Okay, we're back to being a centered Christian. Do you believe what you say you believe? So if you do, you'll take up faith for protection from the fiery darts of the evil one or the flaming missiles, whichever translation you want to use. Now, you could just lay that shield down, or either that or set it up on the shelf at home. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Or wear it around your neck as a necklace. You could wear that around your neck. But then what is it? It's just decoration. It's worthless. Doesn't do you any good. It's got to be up and it's got to be out and you've got to be ready. Okay, so we read it, we talk it, we preach it, but it's got to be real. Okay, it's got to be real. It's got to be more than what you say. And the thing that you have to remember is that people are watching you. Yeah. People who are unbelievers, they're watching how you're doing things. Yeah. All right? So, I've experienced battle where the pressure is so intense, I felt like I was having a panic attack. And it was like, you know, it's like, you can't even breathe. In fact, I was talking to Katie. She goes, Mom, I don't have a permanent full-time job yet. I mean, she's working, which is a good thing. She says, I don't have that. She says, sometimes it's like I can't even breathe. I said, test in your faith, honey. I know. I said, you know, you could spend the whole year down there going from temporary job to temporary job to temporary job to temporary job. I said, how would you like that? She goes, I don't like that. I said, well, I understand that. I said, but if he's providing for you at this point and this point, I said, when do you have to make your rent payment? Well, this, and I said, well, do you have that money yet? No. I said, well, it might come in by then. It probably will come in, and it'll be on time. Oh, yeah. So, you know, you probably have all experienced that where you have a lack of peace. You have this pressure. You have this anxiety. Sometimes it ends up with like a knot in your stomach. You ever felt that, the knot in your stomach? Rodney knows. The summer that you guys were here, he was driving the truck back. And he was, I had bought him all this wonderful Hostess. I went to the garbage store. You know, and loaded him up with all these Hostess treats, didn't I? Had a bag behind his seat, and he had bought 2 jugs of Mountain Dew. And he was leaving, and I knew he was nervous, he was unnerved. And I said, Rodney, you gotta eat something. He hadn't eaten anything all day. I said, Rodney, you gotta eat something. He says, Mom, if I eat it, he said, 5 miles down the road, I'm gonna have to stop and I'm gonna have to get rid of it. Because he said, my stomach is all knotted. Okay, that's the pressure that he has. It's a stomach knot. Some of you maybe had ulcers. No sleep. Have you ever gone without sleep because of a deal? Okay. This one happens a lot. You have your basket of the fruit of the Spirit. You know, you're like Little Red Riding Hood or whatever. And you have pressure come, and it's like before you're all done, all your fruit is on the floor and bruised, and nobody wants it then. You know, your peace leaves, your gentleness leaves, your kindness leaves, you have no self-control. That totally is gone. So, you know, you need to think about these things. People are watching you. They're watching you. Do you believe what you say you believe? Because they'll catch you on it. You know, they'll live like the devil, and you're not supposed to judge them, but they'll surely judge you. Yeah. Okay, so I mentioned before that I had this situation come. Okay, so this situation came. I knew that it was coming, and it came, and I was flipping through channels. That's what I usually do when I watch TV. I flip through channels because I like this show, but I can't watch the whole part of it because it gets icky. So then I have to go to a different one. So it's terrible to watch TV with me. So I'm back and forth, back and forth. And as I'm back and forth, back and forth, I'm starting to have fear grip me. Okay? Now, I knew this was coming. Okay? I knew this was coming. So I was aware. It didn't take me by surprise, but I could feel this fear starting to grip me. And what I had to do was I had to stop. Okay, I already had my shield of faith up, so I knew that it was coming. I was okay with that, but then I had this fear creeping in around me. So then what I had to do is I had to pick up my sword, and I had to start saying, you know, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Okay, you've got to, was it me that had the dream about the tin, back when I first got filled with the Spirit, I had a dream. We were out on the farm, and I was wielding this sword. Was huge. It was like Excalibur, you know. And I was picking it up, and I was slinging it around, and I wasn't hitting anything. And it was so vivid, and it was like, okay, I didn't know how to handle it. So you got to be able to know how to handle this thing. Bring it up. You've got to know. And you know, I really don't think it's as important for you to know chapter and verse as it is to know what you need to speak. Okay, because some of us struggle with chapter and verse. But if you know, you know, no weapon formed against me, I had that fear. It says, well, God has not given me a spirit of fear. God has not given me a spirit of fear. And so then you can, and then from there, once you start quoting scripture, then you can start to rebuke because your faith is being built. You're strengthening yourself with the word of God. And we talked about that before. Okay, next question. Do you really believe that God is good and that he can bring you out of the thing, out of the stuff? Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? Okay, yes, we do. God is good. Psalms 119:63 says that he is good and he does good. Okay, so you can throw that at your problem. God is good. He's for me. He's not against me. I'm the head and I'm not the tail. And you could be Jim Caseman and you could just da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You need to do that. There's faith aids back there. It'll help you be able to just hammer right out at those. So here's the problem. With this, that God is good, he's for me, is we know that he's willing, we know that he's able. Would you agree? He's willing, he's able to help us. The problem that we have is, will he do it for me? Okay, single it out. If you were the only person in the world, Jesus would have died for you. Because that would be truth. If you were the only one, he would do it for you. And sometimes you need to stand on that box and you need to say, he would do it just for me. He loves me enough, he would do it just for me. Okay? Here's another question. Are you willing to wait? Yikes. Be a Daniel. He fasted and prayed for 3 weeks. I have a hard enough time fasting for a day. I'm not perfected at that at all. Are you willing to wait for God to turn darkness into light? Because a lot of times this darkness is for a long time. I don't know if any of you have experienced that, but darkness is for a long time. Joseph went for, what was it, 14 years? Is that right, Pastor, right? Between being sold and before he rose to position, wasn't it like 14 years? I think so. I think it's 14 years. I should know. I'm the detailed person. We need to be willing to stick it out. Just persevere, just to plow through. And you could be hurting. You could even be to the point of screaming and crying. I've been there. Been there, even once through my Bible. Then I had to pick it up and tape it back together because it broke all to pieces. I won't go into that one. But the whole thing is that all these different things, even if you don't respond appropriately, it shows you where you're at so you can go take care of it. So it's kind of like disciplining a child, you know. They don't perform the way you want to, so you discipline them so that they don't do it that way again. and maybe they will. And so, see, you get to do it again and again and again and again and again. Okay, the important thing is that you don't quit. So many times we see people who were with us at one time, and because of an adversity or something that happened to them, they don't even serve God anymore. Okay, but to me, it's like, okay, what else are you going to do? Where are you going to get your strength? If you quit God, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Bev and I have had many talks about that. There aren't any other options. God is the only option. God is the only option. Okay, so here's your review for the test, okay? Quickly. Number one, is God bigger? So when the test comes, you have to answer that. Is God bigger?
Yeah.
It's bigger, bigger, bigger. B-I-G-G-E-R. It's bigger. Okay, number two, is God able and willing? And will he do it for you? Okay. Number three, will you wait for God to come through for you? Yes. And you need to get these right, okay? You need to get an A++++, okay? 100%, 100%. Okay, David said in Psalms 27, 13, just 13 first, I would have lost heart, this is the New King James, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He would have been overwhelmed by the thing that he was dealing with. He would have been overwhelmed. But he believed that he would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. If you know that God is bigger and that God is good, and that you can say, I will see his goodness, and it will come to my house and it will come to my situation. It's like you have to make it personal. You have to get there. God will come. He will manifest his goodness in the mess. And then you'll be able to say, oh, God did that for me. And you can set that up on your mantle. And the next time something comes, you can say, look what he did. He did that to me the last time. He'll come through for me again. Okay? It's kind of like a memorial of sorts. Well, then let's go on to verse 14. He says in verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I stay on the Lord. So when we're waiting on the Lord, we're being of good courage. The Lord is strengthening our heart. You best be in the Word. I can't stress that enough. You best be in the Word, because that's going to give you the strength and the support to hang on, knowing that he's working and he's coming through. There's a scripture. I don't know where it's at. It's in the New Testament where it says, Jesus says it. He says, God is working. My Father is working and I am working also. Either that or it's, I am working and my Father is working also. He's always working. He's not just sitting up there, you know, eating chips and drinking soda. Well, he's not. He's working. He's working on our behalf. So, sorry about that. I just kind of took divinity out of the mix, didn't I? Okay, let's sum up. Should we? We'll sum up. The good thing about the bad thing. These are some really interesting things. Your trial is the place where your faith is proved and tested. It's the place where you ask yourself, or we ask ourselves, do we really believe what we say we believe? He is big, he is good, and I can wait. And here's a really interesting thought. If you didn't have the bad thing come, the trial or the stuff, then you would have never known God's goodness and his faithfulness in that particular situation. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? If you had never experienced it at all, you would never have known his goodness in that particular situation. It's a very interesting thought. I thought it was anyway, okay? The thing you need to remember is that it gives your faith a chance to grow, because your faith always needs to be growing, all right? Your trust. Oh, have we ever been there, Bev? Trust. That's all what we seem to hear, okay? So once the trial is over and you can know that God helped you out, it's a wonderful thing. He came through for you. You can consider it joy then. Okay, but the thing of it is we need to consider it joy as we're going through it so that we keep ourselves together. Okay, we're not losing it. He's turning the darkness into light. So for me, God is bigger, he's able, he's willing. And it's like David said, I've been there, God was there for me. He delivered me from the paw of the lion and he delivered me from the paw of the bear. So now I can stand up against this giant that's come against me. So does that make sense? Any questions? Anybody in the midst of facing a giant? Or maybe it's just the bear or the lion. Yeah. You got some stuff going on. Okay, Josh, why don't you stand? Sue, stand. Steve, stand. Okay, you see these? Anybody else who's got a deal going on? Got a deal going on? Big enough. Okay. See these? You need to reach out to these people. Okay, reach out to them. Go over here. Go over. Touch them. Hug them. Embrace them. It's Jesus. Don't do that. It's Jesus. Okay? You want to surround them? Okay, Father, I just lift these up along with the other members here, the brothers and sisters here in this congregation. Father, we care about these people. We really do. We care about them, and we care about the situation that they find themselves in, the difficult thing that they're walking through. And Father, we will be there for them, and Father, we know that you are there for them. You are faithful. You are faithful, and no matter what, you are there for us. Father, we do consider it joy. We consider it joy even now in the midst, knowing that we're going to grow from this. We're going to be strong because of this. And we're going to slay this thing, and we'll be able to put it up and be able to say, oh, you were so faithful, God. You were so good to us. Light has come. You know, bring it on. The next thing, just bring it on, because I'm ready for it. Father, I thank you that we have willing ministers here, people that can surround each other, encourage one another. Oh, Father, step into their lives, Father. Step into their lives. Father, I pray that these words that I have shared, that they will help them along their path as they walk through this, that they'll know that they have their shield of faith up, and that when Satan comes and messes in their brain, tells them things that aren't true, that they'll be able to see it as a lie. It's an absolute lie. It's an untruth. And we are not little children anymore, so we don't believe lies. We believe the word of God. And you will help them to stand on that. Father, you will give them specific scriptures that they can stand on. Father, I believe that they will do their homework and they will get their concordance out and they will find scripture to be able to stand on. And if they can't find it on their own, Father, that they'll come to one of these that stands beside them to find the scripture that they need and to find the help that they need and the prayer partner that they need. I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for your word. I think you're always with us, even if we lose everything. Kingdoms come and kingdoms go. Governments come and governments fail. But you're still here forever. And it doesn't rock you. It doesn't change you. We will stand on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have courage. And I'll share this one last thing with you. I don't know. Roger, was it out of the Amplified? Do you remember the word that I shared with Mark Rapogel? Do you remember where that? It's in Peter, isn't it? Do you remember that about the just judge?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have that?
Yes.
It's 22. It's verse 22 somewhere.
Okay. You're right, though. It's First Peter?
First Peter what?
First
Okay, but I got to read it out of a different version, because this one isn't. Maybe it's out of the King James. Does it work? Okay, this is talking about Jesus, and this is if you've got somebody coming at you, saying things that are not very nice about you. It's talking about Jesus. And actually, I'll go up to 21. It says, "For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps. He never sinned nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly." And if I remember the situation specifically, things were being said about this particular gentleman. And I shared this scripture with him, and he said it helped him get through it. Because when people are saying things about you that aren't true, you want to defend yourself. You want to step up and you want to defend yourself. But if you're resting in God, you're not going to have to do that. You're not going to have to defend yourself. You can sit back in the judge who judges justly, and you can let him handle the situation for you. You don't have to stand up there and try and defend yourself. So, there we go. Any questions? No. You had this all down already, didn't you? You knew this before I knew it. Okay. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You can turn me off now, Steve.